Well, good morning, church. Good to be with you this morning. Let's continue to worship by the reading and preaching of God's Word this morning. If you have your scriptures with you, please turn to the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai, chapter 2, 10 through 19. If you have a pew Bible, that will be page 791. As you're turning there, just a couple more announcements to make you aware of. Directly after worship this morning, we do have a fellowship hour with lots of goodies, cookies, and snacks, and all kinds of things that are just something to fill us inside physically, but also we want to fellowship with one another to fill us spiritually as Christian brothers and sisters. So if you're able to, please join us downstairs for a fellowship hour after worship. And just an invitation to you all, I'm having a Bible study this Wednesday night here at the church at 7 p.m. on the topic of fear and anxiety. If you're like me, you struggle with that. I think it's probably something that everybody struggles with in one form or another. And so in the scriptures, over 300 times you hear this command, do not be afraid, do not fear in some sense or form. And so our God knows us well and he wants to shepherd us. So if you find that appealing to you, or you might know someone that it might be helpful to, bring them along. We'll meet up here at the church. We might just set up a table over here, meet off here to the side. We'll see how many comes, and we'll either meet up here or downstairs. So, but if you can come to that, I welcome you to that. And with that, let's pray before we get started in God's Word. Father, we pause in the midst of our worship to pray. We pray for the people in Florida. At the sound of your voice, you can move waters. And it can be a frightening and terrifying thing. Lord, I pray that those people would know your presence, your gracious presence, that they would cry out to you, that they would find relief, that they would find peace in the midst of it, and you would bring protection, Lord. Lord, I pray for Beth as she goes to care for her daughter. Lord, I pray that you just give them good traveling mercies. I pray that you give the words to Beth to say to her, kind of serious stuff going on. So, Lord, we pray that you would intervene, calm her heart, her daughter's heart, give her peace in Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord, as we look into your word, we pray that you would teach us this morning to consider again our ways before you. You always call us to think, to ponder, to consider where we are at in our lives. And do we need to realign? Do we need to recalibrate? Have we lost our focus? So Lord, we pray that you would teach us again this morning from your word, that we would be people who live by grace and grace alone. That is our only hope. In Christ Jesus, we thank you. In his name, amen. So Haggai 2, verses 10 to 19, this is God's word. On the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priests about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priests answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priests answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so it is with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands, what they offer there is unclean. Now then, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing. But, this is a huge but from this day on, I will bless you. From this day on, I will bless you. We've covered much in the past 3 weeks in regards to the book of Haggai, and we've been running with this theme that we are being called to live lives that promote, that build up, that make much of Christ in our lives, in gospel living and in gospel ministries. For the people back then, it was the idea, and it was a picture through the temple and through sacrifices that pointed to Christ. If you recall, the people were chasing after their own dreams, their own desires, their own ambitions, while the temple laid in ruin. They had built the altar, they were offering sacrifices, they were doing worship, while all the time, in the midst of 18 years, the temple structure itself was not being worked on. It was not being built. And if you recall, what that temple represented was a picture that God wanted to dwell in the midst of his people. He wanted to be there with them. And the people that would come to there to worship would come and be with their God through sacrifice. That's a picture of the gospel for them back then. And we ultimately see that fulfilled in Jesus Christ for us today. And so we're asking this question: how do we do that in our lives? How do we make much of Christ? This idea that God desires to be with his people, but the only way that can happen is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The people have been building for about 3 months now, as we come to this text in chapter 2. They've been building. They have heard the call of Haggai. They have repented. They have been building, and they've been building 3 months. And God says to Haggai, go to them and ask them some questions, to consider some things, where they're at, where they've been, and where they are taking them. And so this morning we're asking this question in our lives: do we sense the blessing of the Lord in our relationship with him? Do we sense the blessing of the Lord in our walk with him, and why? When you think about your relationship with the Lord, and as you're walking with him, what causes him to look down at you and pour out his blessings upon you? In America, we say often, God bless America. Sometimes you may say, God bless you to people. But what does that mean? Why would God do such a thing? Is there anything in us that deserves the blessing of God? So this morning we're asking, consider your relationship with God again. Is it one to be blessed? Is it one to be blessed? The first thing, consider this. Do you have a misconception of holiness? Do you have a misconception of holiness? Verse 11 in our text. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priests about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread, stew, or wine, or oil, or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priest answered and said, no. Some weird things for our day and age, this idea of holy meat and putting it in your garment and touching it to other food. But this was important back then to this idea of being ceremonially clean. How did that happen? How does something become holy, sacred unto God? This is probably revolving around the peace offering that people would offer, for they would place an animal on the altar to be sacrificed to God, and they would be able to take a portion of that meat home with them. And so that meat that was placed on the altar that was sacrificed to God was considered holy, and whatever that would touch would become holy. So if I went and offered my peace offering, I went and took my lamb or my dove and it was offered, and I took some of that meat home and I stuck it in my jacket, it would make my jacket ceremonially holy. And so they're asking the question, well, if I take that jacket and touch it to other food, other wine, other things, do those other things become holy? And the priest rightly said that no, it's not transferable. You can't take this object and transfer holiness to other things. It's not communicable. And so what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us today? What's he picturing? And you must understand, to become holy and to become right before God, you need a personal interaction, a personal connection with the sacrifice of God in your place. So when you think of holiness, I'm not sure what you consider. Maybe you think that coming to worship makes you holy. It's a good thing. God commands it. But does it make you right before God? Perhaps you think if you do enough good things, work at a charity, help somebody out, that makes you holy or right with God. Maybe teaching Sunday school, if you do these good things, they will make you right with God. And what this text is telling us, what it is reminding us, that holiness does not work that way. The only thing that something becomes holy, acceptable in God's sight, is through a personal connection with sacrifice. And that's Jesus Christ, received through faith alone. See, you can attend worship with a friend, you can attend worship with a family, but that does not make you personally right before God. It's only you, through faith, having a connection with Jesus Christ, crying out to him saying, Lord, you must be my atonement. You must be my sacrifice. There's no other help except for in that and that alone. If you've put in your trust in your own works, in your own deeds, and coming to worship and thinking that makes you okay, you're totally missing the point. You're still unclean. You're still unholy. But if you've come to receive Christ as Savior and Lord, a personal connection with Jesus Christ through faith, a personal relationship to where you've cried out and said, Jesus, I need you, you're my only hope, then you're holy. Because Christ takes away every sin, thought, word, and deed, and gives you his righteousness. That's what makes holiness. The coming to worship is good. Teaching Sunday school is great, and there are fruits of holiness. There are fruits of your righteousness. That's evidence that you are made right with Christ, but that's not what makes you right with Christ. It's grace alone, in Christ alone, in faith alone. That is our only hope. So as you consider your relationship with the Lord, is it one to be blessed? Perhaps you've put in all of your hope in yourself and the things that you do. Get rid of that. It'll only bring no hope, no confidence, no assurance. Put your assurance in Christ and Christ alone, the sacrifice made for you. The second thing we see that we're called to consider is our worship unclean before the Lord. Even us who are trusting in Christ, is there some sin, some things that we're not dealing with before the Lord? Is our worship unclean before the Lord? In verse 13 of our text, then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priest answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so it is with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord. And so with the work of their hands and what they offer there is unclean. The people did start working on the temple. They did start building, but it was still tainted. It was still unclean. There was things going on in their hearts and their minds. And the text doesn't say what it is, but when you look at the whole of Scripture, in and of ourselves, we are unclean. Even our greatest works, God says, are like filthy rags. And for what I want us to consider, this idea, again, this idea of if you come in contact with a dead body back then and touch other things, The sin would transfer. The uncleanness would transfer. And it was a picture of sin. That sin is contagious. It's out there. It's rampant. It's in your heart. And it can affect hundreds and hundreds of lives. And so I want us to consider, those who are following Christ, maybe we've lost track. Yes, we know we need a Savior. We need Him and His sacrifice to forgiveness, but have we truly repented? Are there things going in our lives that we're just haven't given over to God, confessed to God, and our worship is unclean? In our hearts, we wrestle with greed. In our hearts, we wrestle with gossip. In our hearts, we wrestle with murderous thoughts towards our neighbors, towards our coworkers, towards our friends, and maybe at times our other brothers and sisters in the Lord. We wrestle with covetousness, sexual immorality. The list can go on and on. Is there things in your lives, things that are going on that you need to turn from as you worship, to repent of? So you may be coming to worship this morning and saying, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, but you have no problem going home and gossiping about the people in the church. That's unclean. Maybe you come here and you say, I love Jesus, but you have no problem of going home and disrespecting your spouse constantly, or demeaning your children constantly. That is unclean. And God says, turn from that. Repent of that. You see, what He's trying to get at, when we're left to ourselves, we cannot make ourselves holy. It has to be a sacrifice. And even our best offerings of worship, they're still unclean. If we're left to ourselves, we are hopeless. And that is horrific news. But at the same time, it points us to the only one who can deliver, the altar of the cross, and it's Jesus Christ. And He says, repent and turn and receive forgiveness anew and worship. Your relationship with God from beginning to end is all of grace. It's all undeserved. That must start, continue, and end in that. When you do Sunday school class, when you do things for the Lord, it's because of a big thank you to the Lord Almighty for what He has done for you. Nothing that you're trying to earn, nothing that you're trying to merit, because even everything, our motivations can be tainted with sin. So consider again your relationship with the Lord. Is there something unclean in your worship? To where you're here and worshiping God, but there's something, some horrendous sin, some kind of sin that you know you need to stop and repent of. And repent. And He will forgive. He will forgive. The third thing we see and we're called to consider is perhaps the frustration in your life is the result of the loving discipline of the Lord. Perhaps the frustrations of life and the pressures around you are the result of the loving discipline of the Lord. In verse 15, now then, consider from this day onward, before a stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When you came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When you came to the wine vat to draw 50, there were only 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight, with mildew, with hail. Yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. He calls them to remember. If you remember back in chapter 1 when Haggai goes to them, they were chasing after stuff. They were building their own houses, making them nice and beautiful. They were trying to make all kinds of money, and God was frustrating that. It never satisfied. It was never enough. It was like when they would make money and they would put it in their bags to keep it, it's like it went through holes. It was always empty. And God did that out of His love. Out of His love, because they were chasing after all the wrong things. And God will frustrate you in your life at times to say, wake up. Stop it. You're only harming yourself, to bring you back to that will find joy and contentment in Him, in Christ, in the gospel. In Hebrews it says, for the Lord disciplines the one He loves and he chastises every son whom he receives. For the nation of Israel, they had the idol of greed, the idol of self. And God in his love will frustrate us at times, just to wake us up. Our country has experiencing a couple hurricanes of late. And we don't know all the reasons why, but one of the things we know from Scripture is God uses these things to awaken people. You know, there's been much hatred. There's much immorality. There's much autonomy going on, thinking we know it all. We are gods. We will declare what is right. And perhaps God is sending these hurricanes to awaken people to the reality that we are not gods. Life can be taken away very, very quick. These towers, these houses, these things that we build up and takes years to build, they become gone in a matter of minutes. He's powerful, perhaps. And it's my prayer that God, as he brings these hurricanes, will bring many people to faith. That he will awaken them to reality, that these hurricanes are a taste of judgment, that I can end life very, very quickly, and you need a Savior, you need one to deliver you, and that is only through the Creator God. Perhaps that's why. We don't know for sure, but when you learn from Scripture, when we learn from the events that we see in Scripture, that's a possible reason. Regardless, it's a warning to us all that God loves his people. And if there's frustrating things going on in your life, perhaps he's wanting you just to examine, to consider again, where has my heart been? What have I been chasing? Have I been going down the wrong path? Maybe. There's other reasons that God brings stuff in our path. He's working out things that we can not think or imagine, but that might be a reason. So you need to consider. So the last thing we consider as we look at this question, what is it in our relationship with the Lord that the Lord will bless us? And it's this. It's repentance and faith. It's repentance and faith. It's not one without the other. It needs to be both. In verse 18, consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing. But from this day on, I will bless you. Though the people are still unclean, though they cannot make themselves holy, they have repented. They are working on the temple. They have demonstrated that to God. Is it perfect? By no means. They are still unclean. But God has seen their hearts. They love Yahweh. They love this idea that God wants to be in the midst of his people. And they go to him through sacrifice. And they're building that temple. And God says, today, I will bless you. They've heard the call of Haggai. They heard the call of Zechariah. When Zechariah says, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you. Do not be like your fathers to whom the former prophets cried out. Thus says the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways, from your evil deeds. They've started. They've turned. They're building. And it's not those actions that earn favor, but it's the heart change. Their trust is only in Yahweh, and they want to make much of Yahweh and his ways, his gospel to the people. This is not a promise of prosperity gospel, but it is a promise, like Jesus says, seek the kingdom of heaven first and his righteousness. And the clothes, the food, the things you need will be provided for you. And God normally in his grace does abundantly more than we can think or imagine. This is what brings blessing to your life. It's faith and repentance. It's recognizing you cannot make yourself holy. We are unclean. That yes, we do have greed, that we have murderous thoughts, that we are adulterous in our thoughts, that we do disrespect authority, and the list can go on and on, and you recognize it, and you grieve over it, and you despise it, and say, Jesus, help me. I want to be done with this. Put it to death. Save me. And let Him transform you from the inside out. Trust in His finished work. Once and all for all, the sacrifice for you, full and complete, redemption, forgiveness, all yours. You can be declared holy in His sight through faith. Because you want to turn from the way of wickedness to the way of Christ. So consider again, it's repentance and faith that pleases the Lord. As you think, do you have the right concept of holiness with God? It's not the things you do, it's the sacrifice. Is there things in your heart and your life that are making your worship unclean? Is there unrepentant, wicked sin going on that you know of, like, I need to get rid of this? Perhaps the frustration that you experience in your life, God is saying, wake up. I love you. Turn back to me. And just turn and believe. It's all yours. It's a free gift, not earned or deserved. And He wants you to live a life of grace that's full of blessing. It's full. It's wonderful. It's amazing grace. Trust Him this morning and receive His forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. It is hard and challenging, but it is Your word. As a pastor who stands here and declares these things, I am first to confess I have sinned. I am unclean. This does not make me holy. Christ alone makes me holy. I trust Him. Lord, forgive us, Your people, of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank You for not leaving us alone. Thank You that we can live in grace, that our lives are all about Your mercy, undeserved love, undeserved forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We trust Him and Him alone. In His name we pray. Amen.